Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and if you look alongside of me here, as promised, a special guest, but we didn't reveal. It was almost like you're a mystery guest, but a former NFL cornerback with Washington, and this is going to be awkward, and I'm sure you get these questions all the time, too.
Yeah.
We'll bring it up. But the Washington football team, in between there with the Philadelphia Eagles, staying within the same division, as we'd like to talk about a lot. But we'd like to welcome Fred Smoot to the program. Fred, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, brother. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
I am hanging in here. I just finally put up the terrible towel for Christmas season here, so that's permissible now. We're past Thanksgiving and finally past week 12 if you're following the Steelers here. So.
But come on. Why would I be following the Steelers? The only undefeated team in the league. I did play for Mike Tomlin for 2 years. I mean, in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So y'all should be thanking me. My defense helped y'all get Mike Tomlin.
Oh, did I accidentally say the Eagles?
Yeah, you said the Eagles instead of the Vikings.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the Vikings. That's totally my bad. I don't know what I was thinking there. So, but anyways, yeah, that's right. So, hey, you know what? That's a great way to start. What is your general impression? I mean, I know he was a positions coach at the time, but Mike Tomlin, now a head coach in the NFL, I'm sure you have a lot of respect and maybe even a good story or a short story to tell us.
Oh, yeah. I got plenty of stories. First of all, I love Mike. Mike is a great motivator. He's a great leader. And, you know, you can, after playing in this league for a long time, you realize a lot of coaches not straightforward with you. And the one thing that I think all players appreciate with Mike, he's not going to surprise you with anything. You know, he's going to give it to you true and true. And this is how it is. This is how I feel. This is what I feel. And I was going through some things in Minnesota at one point. And my brother had died in a car accident. I wasn't really liking being in Minnesota. You know, I was more of a Washington, D.C. guy. And pulled me to the side. And he was the first guy to just bench me. And he said, I'm going to bench you not because of your play, because you're just mentally not here. He's just mentally not available right now. And, you know, gave me a game or two. And, you know, after I got pushed everything to the side and got back to going, everything was good. But it took a guy like Mike. That was the first time I had been benched in my whole career. Like, I hadn't been rode to bench in two games since I was in 10th grade. And I thought that would be something that would hurt me mentally. It was something that built me up. It got me tougher. It made me realize that, you know what, you got to just keep working through whatever you're going through, no matter what. You can't bring your problems to work. So I love Mike in that way. And I love the fact that Mike has a chance to be only the second coach that can go undefeated and maybe win a Super Bowl. So you know how that goes.
Yeah, unfortunately, crossing my fingers here, got some wood to knock on here. Sometimes we do this, you know, because the team you're covering, obviously, the Washington football team, and you're with the – is it now Believe in Washington or Believe in Football Team?
No, it's the Believe Washington podcast, because we are the team with no names. And you see, I'm wearing my Team Red Bulls right here, because yes, we're having a names battle in the Capitol right now. And some people want this, some people write that. But I think we're embracing the fact that, you know what, we are the team with no name. We show up to play football. That's it. Don't worry about us. That's what makes us dangerous, especially to a team that has a culture already set in place like the Pittsburgh Steelers. We are. What I say is, to us, to y'all are the Nate Robinson project to us. You know why? Because y'all do it for the culture. Y'all have been there. Y'all have built it up. And we like to pause. We don't have any background, anything right now. But I can tell you this, and this is a promise. We have never, as the Washington football team, lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers one time. Not one time.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of those, including the Cowboys, and that's
Yeah. We've never lost them. So you know what? We're hitting the reset button, but we're a dangerous team for you, because at the end of the day, where we're strong at, y'all are weak. Like, the one thing I know about Pittsburgh Steelers, they usually have a dog of an offensive line. All right, well, now I think out of all the groups, that wide receiver group is tremendous. When the backs are healthy, tremendous. Tight ends, tremendous. That offensive line. Hey, we match up well against him. And not only do we match up well against him, we have a quarterback that we know where he's going to be at. He's going to be right there in the pocket with Chase Young, Sweat, John Allen, Hayne, Settle, and the rest of these guys. Oh, once they get the crank and once they get the moving, we can change this game, especially because we can run the ball and y'all can't.
Wow. You know, you give me a lot to chew off here, and I had a lot of guys to build up on your end. I got to tell you first, usually myself and my co-host here are big Ohio State Buckeyes fans, so there's quite a few players that we've followed that are now with Washington's team. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Dwayne Haskins, that hasn't quite worked out as you know may have hoped, but you got the number two overall pick in Chase Young, Terry McLaurin.
Yes.
So there's definitely some guys there. Steelers fans, with all of the odd scheduling against the Kansas City Chiefs over the years, we got to see Alex Smith quite a bit, so we're familiar with him, and what a great story with him coming back. I think you hit the nail on the head with something I wanted to cover. First and foremost, just don't expect us to be Nate Robinson and get knocked out. That's just, we sure hope so. But people are going to look at this. They're thinking NFC East. They're thinking all the teams in NFC East pretty much losing records. You guys aren't out of the fight either. So not only are you amped up to try and knock off a team for their first loss for the season, but you're trying to stay in the race yourself to win a division. But a 4-7 team that is now 3-3 and maybe – a lot of your own adversity and turning things around, different quarterbacks, everything that's happened with Coach Rivera in his first year there. I mean, it's, you know, it's December. It's when you need to turn those things around. And you mentioned you mentioned two things. Let me go back to where I think it's definitely a defensive line versus offensive line type situation, because I definitely noticed the Yahoo article, or saw it on Yahoo. I was looking up some stuff, and your name came across as talking about the offensive line about a month ago in Washington not being able to protect anyone or no one or anything. But has your thoughts on that changed at all, or are we about to see the number one team in sacks and the number two team tied in sacks in the league? Or is this just going to be a sack party for both of these defensive fronts?
I can say this. Our offensive front has got better, and they got better in the run game. I don't know. Morgan Moses, I've always been hard on Big Moses. Big Moses has made this transition from the right tackle to the left tackle, and he's playing better as a left tackle than he did as a right tackle. I'm talking about Pro Bowl dominance over there, getting Brandon Sheriff back. And we have some guys in between that can make things happen. And Antonio Gibson running the ball, changing the line of scrimmage, I think it has changed everything. And that clicked off when Alex Smith came into the game, because when you get a veteran quarterback like that, not only to tell everybody what job you need to do, what check we might make, expect this, get ready for that, he coaches up everybody on offense. So you're seeing the best Terry McLaurin you're going to see. You're going to see the best Logan Thomas you're going to see. You're going to see the best Antonio Gibson you're going to see because of Alex Smith. And he also makes the offensive line look good because he gets the ball out of his hands. He understands situational football. He understands 3rd and 3, I got to get this ball moving. He understands if there's going to be play action, I need to not only get to my back foot, I need to make my mind up where I'm going. He is that true leader that we've been missing, especially with all this young talent. We have a team that's 75% under the age 25. We are the most dangerous team that nobody wants to see. You got a lot of great athletes and a leader in Alex Smith who leads by example, and a guy that won't ever, how should I say, put you out of a game. We've been in every game we played this year. We've been in the game almost to the end. It's only a few situations where you can look at that. And that's why I say we could be the Nate Robinson trap for one Pittsburgh Steelers. One, because they look at the NFC East and say, ain't nobody good over there. Well, I'm telling you, it's a lot of good talent over here. Don't forget, 5 years ago, we looked at the NFC West, all right? Right when Pete Carroll was rebuilding, right when Shanahan was signed, right when the year before Kyler Murray was drafted, all right? And we said that was the worst division in football. Well, we're that right now, but we won't stay that way. All right? You think about it. If everybody's healthy, we got three of the better backs in the league in this division with Saquon Barkley, with Zeke when that offensive line is going, Antonio Gibson throwing his name in the hat. A lot of great young quarterback talent, a lot of cornerback talent, a lot of D-line talent. So, you know, I tell people, don't always think you know before you know. That's why I love any given Sunday, football still has to be played.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I meant to look, and I think the one thing for certain is going to be, and we've already talked about Coach Tomlin, I can't see him being – he can be aggressive at times, but I don't know about the boneheaded decisions that we saw made by Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys just last week. What was he went for? Was it a fake? I think there was a
It was
fake
a fake in the red zone.
Oh,
like
he just handed it to you. I mean,
Mike is not going to throw the game away, but I know Mike. And he seen the plays that wasn't made last week with Pittsburgh, even though they won. He's mentally going in there treating that like a loss. He's not feeling good about it. He's going to weigh on them this week and let them know he didn't feel good about it. So he's going to work them hard this week. You got to ask yourself, do you want to see a mad Pittsburgh after, kind of halfway showing up? All right, but then you got to ask yourself, I am seeing Pittsburgh on a short week. I am seeing them on a short week, and we can dictate the line of scrimmage. Not only on offense, on defense, Bud Dupree missing. A lot of people get T.J. Watt all the props. Bud Dupree is a monster on that backside of that defensive line. So at the end of the day, everything's starting to play in our favor for upset. And when I look at y'all rest of your schedule, besides I think the Browns maybe you got left, we are the team that I think could upset you.
Buffalo, can't overlook.
Yeah, Buffalo most definitely.
I mean, there's still in the Colts. There's still some teams here that it's almost like a mini playoffs now, and that's the way December football. You know, I get it. That's a good point. I wanted to ask you about is, did you play on many short weeks during your time as a
player? Yeah, we did. We started off the Thursday games.
Yeah. How is that when you're a player, and how disruptive is it when? I mean, you never had anything quite like this 2020 season, obviously. But I think most people aren't understanding, well, the Steelers got rest. Well, they went and practiced and then they didn't, and everything was very disjointed for something that's very regimented and you're
routine.
Trying to be disciplined. There was no routine there whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think it showed on both sides of the ball last week. But it's going to be a lot like this too now headed into a short week. Can you just kind of speak on your experience with that?
Well, here's the thing about it is it's going to affect – different people on the team differently. For Big Ben and the older veterans, mentally, they will be okay. Physically, will they be okay? All right. With the younger guys, physically, they will be okay. Mentally, will they be okay? Because now you're talking about putting in a game plan. You can't possibly go in and run the same game plan you ran last week because it's playing into the Washington football team's hands. So now, like I said, Tomlin has those barriers where, on one hand, he got to overteach the younger group, and on the other hand, he needs to overrest the older guys. So there go the dilemma. Some going to be able to practice, some I'm not going to be able to practice. So there's going to be the dilemma with them where we've been sitting back just waiting. Just, like you said, the younger team comes in and it has their legs up under them. So, and the younger team actually has the running game that can keep them off the field. The one thing I can say right now is the Achilles heel of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are always known, no matter how much they pass the ball, physicality in December. When it get nasty at Heinz Field, when it get nasty, when it becomes that, it mimics what Pittsburgh as a city is about. Gloom, doom, and go get the job done. I can remember times where they would just literally bring Heinz Ward down so he could chip the defensive end out of the linebacker so they can get me in the bus one-on-one. They're about physicality. Get him on the corner, force the corner to make a tackle, and let's wear him down as the game goes on. I don't see that right now. I see the ball being spread out all over the field, and when it get nasty, it's going to all be about the most physical team in the game. And we don't have a record y'all have, but I promise you, it's going to be some paint swapped come this weekend, all right? It's going to be some paint swap, all right? Rydell on Rydell is what we call it.
And you know what? I can't disagree with you. And Baltimore, this is something you may not have been aware of, but I had made a prediction in that game that the Steelers defense, they were going to correct how Baltimore ran all over them the first game. The second game here was 10 yards just more. If they would have had 10 yards fewer, which was like that Trace McSorley run, basically, then they would have, the Steelers defense would have held the Ravens offense, minus Lamar Jackson, mind you, and two starting running backs, but to their fewest rushing yards of the season. And now I'm looking at a guy like rookie Antonio Gibson. And most people probably are not, if they're not following close enough and they're just Steelers fans listening, check out Antonio Gibson, leads all rookies by far in rushing yards. What is it, 5 weeks now with the touchdown? Three last week?
Yeah, he got 11 touchdowns on the season. He's I'm going to tell you what he is truly, and Coach hit it on the head. He's the next version, the updated version of Arian Foster. Y'all got to realize, we're talking about a guy that played wide receiver and running back in college. Only toted the ball 33 times. A lot of tread left on his tires. But he's built like a brick house. He can catch out the backfield. He can literally do everything you need him to do. And don't forget about J.D. McKissic. He's been one of the better third down backs in the league right now.
And you've been running Peyton Barber a little bit too.
Yeah.
And I think he had like 50-some yards last week. And geez, you guys held Zeke to practically nothing on the other end. But I don't know. Dallas has their problems with offense, much like the Steelers do here. They will probably be without James Conner. Well, I should say they will be without James Conner. Yep. He'll still be in the COVID protocol deal because he tested positive. However, close tracing contact with Stephon Tuitt, he could return. That's going to make a big. That's going to be a big deal with Dupree being replaced by the rookie Alex Highsmith, who definitely has a motor, and they've trusted him more than you would see a lot of rookies when it comes to particularly the Steelers defense. They like to kind of hold these guys, let them simmer, let them cook, so to speak, before you start bringing them out in years two and three. And he's going to get thrown right here, right out here on the field on Monday, and on a short week, expected to be the starter. So that's definitely something to look at.
And I promise you, I could write him a letter, send him an email right now. We're going to attack him. I'm sorry. That's,
why
that happened.
This happens when rookies
get in the game.
Yes.
It just happens.
That's just the way it works. But speaking of attacking now, I got to go over and I'm looking at – I give you a lot of respect. You mentioned all the guys that are up front, like Chase Young and Allen and – Settle and
Sweat.
Montez Sweat. You guys got such a rotation there. But tell me a little bit about your secondary, because I think this is the part that probably might scare you. I don't know. You got Ronald Darby and company, but the Steelers got a whole platoon of receivers here.
Yep. And last time I heard, we was the number four pass defense in the league. That what I heard?
It's a good matchup, man. It really is great. A much better matchup than the record shows.
For every Pro Bowl you got, we got one too. You got Juju Smith, we got Kyle Fuller. Darby's been having a pretty good year over there at the corner, and Moreland has been steady in the inside. So every time y'all bring up a name, we got somebody to match up with him. And see, what you got to realize when you're playing cornerback, pass rush and coverage go hand in hand. And we know something about you guys. This is not a five-step game for Big Ben. All right. It's no secret that they don't want to do five-step drops with him, with these guys coming off the edge. We got one DN running 4-4, another guy by the name of Chase that's a monster. No, you don't want to do five-step drops. So we know they're going to get it out quick. And guess what? We're going to be breaking on balls. All right. We're going to understand what the transition is going to be. That's what makes this group so good. Kendall Fuller, West No Guy, they play head games with guys. They're very smart, and they're starting to really communicate. And that's what I do like. They're starting to understand down and distance. They're starting to understand situational football. And if you really want to do grades, for the last 2 weeks, Darby's had one of the highest grades at the cornerback position. And during the whole year, Fuller is in the top three. So at the end of the day, we got guys that can match. I'm going to tell you where I'm afraid of the Pittsburgh Steelers at. And this is where I'm going to have nightmares. I hope I got warm milk on the side of my bed. At the end of the day, Eric Ebron is the matchup that I'm afraid of. Eric Ebron is a tight end that can make plays continuously, first through the fourth quarter. And we haven't done well with tight ends because, there we go, we're great in the back end, we're great in the front. Our linebackers right now are our weakness.
Yeah, and you know what? Steelers fans will remember the name right in the middle there.
Bostic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but guess what? Guess what? Just because you dated a girl in high school, she gets better. She gets better when you see her at 25, 26 years old. She looks a lot better. So he's matured now. He's a roughhouse. And you always know it's an emotional game when players play against the franchise that, you know, believed in them, but then did not believe in them. So it becomes personal. And Cole Holcomb has started to flash also. So he'll probably be the matchup that we're looking for when it comes to trying to stop Eric Ebron.
Yeah, I just the one way I see this unfolding is that more than likely the best situation for Washington is if Alex Smith doesn't have to attempt a lot of passes. Now, that's not to say that he makes a lot of mistakes with the ball. I know he's never been the guy that throws a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know, kind of just the field general, but he has taken a lot of sacks. I think I saw 15 so far. He's played in 5 games, but only like 100. Hold on, I had it here actually. He was at a 155 attempts. So almost every 10 times he's attempting a pass, he's going down. And I know some of those were against the Rams, but there's also some other defenses that you guys played, Giants, Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Not
Giants necessarily. Pretty good D-line.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Lawrence, the rest of those guys, yeah. Leonard. They got some guys.
Yes. Yes. So, well, that's kind of the point I was kind of getting at. I wasn't necessarily downplaying it, but they're still getting like two or three. I saw the Rams kind of paired up and got some more. It sucks not having Bud Dupree. People hear, they hear my prediction. I'm afraid to tell you my prediction, but I'm going with 6 sacks for the Steelers.
I'm not going with 6 sacks because I think it's going to be a nasty game.
It could very well be, yes.
The weather going to dictate the game. All right, so now let me ask you, Pittsburgh lover of Steelers. All right, let me ask you this. What happens if it's nasty and it's raining? It knocks off both passing games, right? Mm. Now you ask yourself, who has the better run game? Washington team.
I would say at this point, you guys got to be in the top five.
All right, so now we have the best running game. Guess what a running game does? A running game does two things. It wears down your defense and stops them from pass rushing. All right, and then it keeps the quarterback of the opposite team on the sideline. You want to know how to stop Patrick Mahomes? You want to know how to stop Big Ben? Put that clipboard on their hand and let them watch Alex Smith and the offense run up and down the field. Let me tell you something. We have that elite of mixture to beat y'all. We have a top three punter in the league that can change field position. We have a defense that's in the top five that can get real stingy at times, especially against the run, and know they can get out the passer. And guess what? We can run the ball. The one equation y'all are missing out of that is, how are you going to keep our offense off the field if y'all can't run the ball? I like Benny Snell, but ask Benny Snell, have you ever heard of snot bubbles? Because we trade them over here. That's one thing we are. We're one of the highest snot bubble trading commodities in the league right now.
Absolutely fantastic, man. I mean, I cannot disagree with anything that you said, regardless if you were here or my usual co-host Brian and us trying to be biased or homers. This is a game that you have to pay attention to if you're the Steelers. And, you know, Benny Snell, we've seen Benny Snell football be good. We've seen Benny Snell football be bad.
I like Steelers had
some ball protection issues. Even last week, they didn't necessarily lose the fumbles. Deontay Johnson out of bounds. Ray McLeod lost one on special teams. You can't make mistakes like that. Give up some of the drop passes as well that don't convert the first down. So these are the things that are concerning. And Steelers fans complain. They are the most entitled, spoiled bunch. You ain't got to tell me.
I wouldn't think y'all live in Boston. That's how y'all act. When it comes to the Steelers.
11-0 and still find things to complain about. But that's because they're worried about the bigger – they want the bigger prize. They want another ring. They want another Lombardi. So there is one guy that we didn't talk about, and that's Logan Thomas. And I've seen him throw some passes this year, and he's also a dangerous tight end. I think he adds a different wrinkle to the football team's offense.
Oh, no. He's proven to be a tight end. I was calling him out early in the year because I was like, we just finished with Jordan Reed. He was a tight end that was a quarterback. Now we got Logan Thomas. He was a tight end that was a quarterback. Haven't we learned? All right, well, now he showed me that he could block. He showed me he can go out and make plays. So I think he's going to be somebody that we're going to use a lot to stay in the face of Minka Fitzpatrick. Because if you can stay in his face, it forces everybody else to play man-to-man out there on their corner by themselves. And that's what I say. That makes the matchup between Joe Hayden and Scary Terry the key to the game. Because if we can get two or three big plays in the pass game and run the ball, and y'all start off slow because our defense is making y'all start out that way, if it's a tight game by halftime, it moves into our favor. I just want to say that it moves into our favor. We play more close games. Y'all have been more dominant. All right? And so I got to ask, who can put the quarterback on the bench? It's that run game that can put him on the bench. And Logan Thomas had a lot to do with that because he's actually blocking well in the trenches. And I promise you, Morgan Moses, watch the matchup. Morgan Moses, TJ Watt. Moses can hold his own. And long as Moses is holding his own, Sherrys is holding his own in the inside of guard. We have a chance to make plays. And I got to get Scott Turner some props. The way he's been using our two-back system, the way he's been using motion before the snap, is going to make the linebackers of Pittsburgh stop their feet. And when they stop their feet, we're going downhill a little.
Hey, it's been really good. I know we're down to the last few minutes right here. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. Just wanted to mention that we don't have the Friday full injury report. Morgan Moses did show up with a groin He'll be limited. There. Limited.
He'll be there.
Offensive lineman. I mean, these guys are gladiators. We always
see I'm going to say, anytime I see offensive lineman on the injury report, I don't even look at it. I'm looking at only speed positions with soft tissue injuries. Them the guys that I want to say, I can work on that. We need to try to pick on him. We need to test that injury out. That's just the way it goes. That's what the injury report is about. So, no, Morgan Moses will be there. Like I say, we're starting to really catch our drift right now. We're the team nobody want to play. Now, I'm going to give you this nugget, too. I'm going to give you the perfect Washington football season. All right, 6-10. Win the division. Go to the playoff and host a home game with youngsters.
Yes.
And have a top 10 pick in the draft where we turn around and take one Kyle Pitts tight end out of Florida. We have done everything we needed to do.
Oh, man, don't say that. We have a listener here. He emails me several times a day sometimes and talking back and forth when I have time. You just mentioned a name that he wants on the Steelers.
Kyle Pitts is unstoppable. He reminds me of a taller, faster, updated. So if Shannon Sharp is the iPhone 1, Kyle Pitts is the iPhone 12, and he's worth every penny to the show. 6'5", run routes like a receiver, loves to get in there and block. He's a mismatch problem. I think he's going to be special in the league.
Yeah, and I think the only real guy who pops up on the report here for the Steelers is Steven Nelson with a knee. Did not practice Thursday, so something to look at starting corner, because can't lose any more bodies on this defense. I know we say the standard's the standard over here. You might get lucky replacing a couple of guys, but now Devin Bush, Bud Dupree, Steelers, you know, banged up, getting banged
and
up.
And we got some young and we got some young no-name receivers that's out there playing well. Cam Sims, a guy that I've been pulling for the last 3 years, 6'4", 220 pounds, can run with the wind. He has a chance to make some plays. He's been making plays. Steven Sims at the slot. Fast, quick, reminds me of an old Pittsburgh Steeler by the name of Antonio Brown, by the way he moves and the plays that he makes. All right, so we have some guys over here other than Scary Terry that makes plays on his offense, and I think that's what makes Alex Smith so good, because he brings the best out of all of it.
Well, we know weather forecasts are unpredictable. It's looking okay right now, 36, maybe cloudy on Monday, the change, 5 o'clock. A little bit of daylight when this game kicks off. Somebody's going to pick to not look into the sun as it's going down there.
Yeah.
And let me see. I had the line. Steelers are a -7, a 43.5 over and under. That sounds about right for prime. The bookies always get you with that over-under, don't they?
So, hey, I can say it sounds about right, but I can tell them and I can promise them this. 2020 has been an odyssey as a year. Now you move this game 3 days away. You put them on another Monday night, on a Monday night game that they weren't expecting. You make the game at 5 o'clock. You got key guys hurt. You're playing against a young, hungry team you don't respect. The pot is set for the upset. That's what I'm telling you right now. The seeds are set. Everything is there for them to show up and not be the team that they are. Put it like that. And if they do that with a team like us, I promise you they will have their first L of the year.
Yeah, you don't have to sell me on any of this. I was here to sell everyone that's listening or watching over on our YouTube channel that count your chickens before they hatch here. This is going to be a heck of a game. This could be better than some of the other games even coming up.
Yeah, because football is about matchups. It's not about records. All right, records don't matter. It's about matchup. Who matches up with a team better? Well, we match up well against them. Our strengths, your weaknesses. Where you're strong at, we're just as strong. You're strong at wide receiver. We're strong at corner. You're weak at offensive line. We're strong at defensive line. Y'all been giving up rushing yards. We can rush the ball. Y'all capitalize off of turnovers. We got a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over. Y'all also great at changing field positions. We got Trust Way. He don't believe in letting that happen. So we have the mixture. We're the hard-nosed coach, and players are there playing for him. They love Coach Rivera. Listen to me, these young guys, and I keep telling people, Chase Young, John Allen, these guys come from Alabama, Ohio. They're not used to losing, and they're not going to continue to lose. Once they get into their winning ways, they're going to be hard to stop. It's an avalanche that people don't understand their story.
Man, I'll tell you what, I love your energy. I wish I could bottle it up and send it over to Pittsburgh for those guys. For sure. Thank you, Fred, for taking time out of your day. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Smoot, formerly of the Washington Redskins, now football team.
Red Wolves.
That's a cool name. I have nothing against that. I don't know. I like the helmets. I like the helmets with just the number, the old school kind of.
I like it with the number, but I think you remember the R logo we used to wear?
Yeah.
I think the R logo is what we need. Make the back of the R the wolf's tail. And I think it just mixed with everything. All right. Think about it. Up the beltway, we have the Baltimore Ravens. And if you read any of National Geographic, Ravens and Wolves are cousins. They work together. They help each other find food. A lot of people don't know that.
I would much rather let them starve.
I'm just saying they just work together. They feed off each other. And a cowboy. What is a cowboy's job? It's protect the sheep and the herd from the wolves. All right, so it all just meshes in. And I can't wait for Pittsburgh to have to play us if we become the Red Wolves. And you had to come to Washington and 80,000 after Chase Young sacked Ben Roethlisberger, start howling like wolves. How intimidating would that make you feel? It becomes more than just a draw. It becomes something that they can identify with. And that's what I think. When you pick a mascot, it has to be more than just what we're going to represent. It has to have something to it for the fan base. And we've already messed up before. All right, we turned the Bullets into the Wizards. All right, so we're known to butcher names up here in this area. So we have to get this one right.
Yeah, and baseball too. And we don't talk about your hockey team in Pittsburgh.
I'm sorry, because guess what? The Capitals, all we do is beat the Penguins. I'm sorry. We're better than y'all in hockey, and we're better than y'all in baseball. We're better than y'all in baseball.
We don't even know, like, the Pirates. They just don't exist. It's just – we talk about a city of champions, but we're going back to, like, Roberto Clemente and stuff like that. We kind of ignore, like –
You can't live in your parents' day. If you ask your parents who the best basketball player, they'll still be hollering Magic Johnson. All right? Magic ain't played in 40 years. All I'm saying is this. The Nats, the Capitals, and guess what? Soon, the football team will catch up. It will catch up.
Absolutely. Tremendous. Any other parting words? Tell our folks out there how we could follow you. Any other endeavors?
Most definitely. You can follow me on the Believe Network. Me and Percy Donaldson, we got the Washington podcast. We handle all the Washington football media. I also do a live podcast and broadcast with one of the older greats here, Chick Hernandez, who's always been on TV, the Chick and Smoot Show. You can find that on Apple Podcasts. You can find that on Spotify. And I also do a lot of content with the Washington football team. You can look that up on Washington football team on Twitter, Facebook, anything. All I got to say to my Pittsburgh faithful, I've always enjoyed my games there. It's historic to play in Heinz Field, but we as the Washington football team, we have never lost to you guys. And I think after Monday, we still won't have been lost to you guys.
Hey, that's a nice bold prediction that you have there too. And
if we start off fast and y'all start off slow, is our game. And that's why I'm saying the game is going to probably be 20-10. Low scoring, nasty, filthy. Just got off a physical game with the Ravens. Y'all are due for a letdown.
You know what? That's another great point that was not mentioned. And those games against Baltimore are usually a war.
Brutal. Listen to me. When I see y'all leave off the field and the Ravens leave, that's the first football game I see the trainers limping. I see the janitor limping. I see fans limping out of the stadium. Everybody be physically and emotionally brutalized, no matter who wins. That's why nobody ever wins that game. It's like a civil war that just forever goes on between y'all two.
There's only one real positive out of this. Only 49 plays that the Steelers defense were involved in against the Ravens, which is a good thing. That's a good thing on their end. Because you don't want to get into 70. Now, the offense ran 71 plays, but you got a couple more moving parts and bodies there. So at least in that aspect, you know, those 10, 15 extra plays.
I can't give y'all no props, and I'm sure not gonna give y'all any sympathy. You want me to give y'all out cookie cake because y'all went out there and played 40 some plays against RG3?
Now I'm gonna say that. Yeah, and
Trace McSorley. All right, so that's what you want me to give you props for? No, I'm not.
No, now you got to understand, there are some people watching out here that are Penn State fans, and they're going to tell you that Trace McSorley's the truth. You know, not Christian Hackenberg, but the McSorley.
Where I live, right down the street, he went to high school there. All right, yeah. So I understand the Trace McSorley love affair, but Trace is just not ready to be a primetime pro when it comes to quarterbacking. And think about it. Y'all played them without Lamar Jackson, without all of their running backs. It was so many people missing. That's why I think Coach Tomlin himself, mentally, he's going to mentally challenge them this week. And that's what I'm afraid of.
He already has. He was apparently not in act during his press conference right after the game on Tuesday. He was hot.
Mm-hmm.
He was hot. And they said that he cussed the team out in the locker room was one of the reports that came out from one of the
Got me at my locker after the game. I can't even get my shirt off. He already cussing me out. I'm like, hold up, Mike T. Let me take these cuss words to the face, not to the jersey. He's emotionally attached to the game, and that's what you got to like about him. You got to love a coach that's emotionally attached to the game, and when he feel like he's never going to get on you unless he feel like he's being shorted. And when I say being shorted, effort don't cost nothing, all right? And if he's being shorted in effort, he ain't going to let you have it. Execution don't cost nothing. We practice it all week, all year. He ain't going to have that. And physicality, that's what they're saying. You're playing football, all right? You're not sitting here playing soccer. You're playing football. So these are the things he will not go without. And it's going to resonate with his players.
Hey, now, soccer could be physical, too. Everybody that listens knows I'm a soccer guy, too.
No, I actually know this. More concussions happen in soccer than football. Actually, pro football, because the simple reason they're not wearing pads and we are wearing pads.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize most of that. It doesn't even deal with heading the ball. It has to deal with the challenges when they land, the whiplash.
And all of the head-to-heads and the body-to-body. I think that was does it. And the quick turns and the quick start and the quick goals. People just don't understand. That's why I respect all pro athletes, no matter what you're doing.
Absolutely. There's a lot of speed involved in that game, too, and a lot of parallels that I bring over from one field to the other when I discuss it here. But, Fred, it's been great having you. I know it's like every 4 years maybe when these teams get to see each other, unless by perchance you guys best of
we
luck.
We usually see y'all every 2.5. We always have 2 out of division teams that we play more than anybody. Actually, 3. Pittsburgh is one of those teams, I think, because we're in the same area and we're used to stealing each other fans, 2 historic franchises. So I play Pittsburgh a ton. We usually play Carolina a ton, and we usually play Seattle a ton. Those are the 3 teams that we play out of division more with more regularity than we do anybody from your division, besides the Ravens.
Yeah, you know what? I was looking at this, and actually I'd forgotten, and I was trying to find it again. And, of course, you know what? I will not when I actually need it. You know what I mean? Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Last game was 2016 at Washington. That was season opener, I believe.
Yeah.
And then the last one that was at Heinz Field on my birthday, 2012, and that was RG3, the Bumblebee jerseys.
Yes. I love those jerseys. I always have loved those jerseys. I always been great jerseys. And I was a big Bill Cowher fan. When I came out, Cowher was coaching Pittsburgh at the time, and he was down at the Pro Bowl. And I actually thought I was going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler because we kind of spoke up the great bromance. And I just love Coach Cowher. So he's always been one of my favorite coaches of all time. Could sneak into my top 5 easily because I admired him. I admired him that much. And, you know, Joe Gibbs is most definitely my number 1, and Tomlin is in there too. But, you know, for some reason, I just always had an attraction to Coach, man. He was a great coach, a great person too. And I love the way he challenged other players on the field. Like, I think he spit on me by mistake like 3 times trying to talk to me.
Oh, you know it. It was just the way – you just know it was coming out just the way he
– You're not really an NFL player until Bill Cowher spit on you. That's kind of the origination of it.
Yeah, that's the initiation. So once again, Fred, I appreciate your time. I tried to let you go, man. I know your phone was going off over there.
I don't know. I love to talk. Talking is free, man. I love to talk. I love people. I love energy. And I love to debate. No matter if we're white or we wrong or you win or I win. Beforehand, nobody knows. Any given Sunday, football makes you a believer, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm anticipating a message. Like I said, I'll probably hear from you sooner rather than later, especially if the game goes your way on Monday. And if not, I'd be more than happy to have you back anytime.
Yeah, so. I've been saying, don't be afraid to have me back on if y'all suffer your first loss this week. Have me back on. Be a gentleman, you know? Be a gentleman. Don't just walk off the field. Shake my hand.
I would. I'll give you a virtual fist bump right there. And then, you know, I'll tell you, you know what? This is not, we joke a lot. And I'm going to say one other thing. Like, we've done this like the last 2-3 years. We go through the schedule before the year and we go down every single team. And me and Brian just say, win, 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 win. And we don't believe it ever.
Yeah.
And here we are, and we're kind of like, well, you know, we told you so.
Yeah.
You know, broken clocks right twice a day. People hear me say
Well, no, I told people to watch out for Pittsburgh because I felt like the way they ended last year, and I knew they was going to get Big Ben back, and I'm a big Minka Fitzpatrick guy. I told people when he came out of Jersey and went to Alabama, I like, he reminds me of Charles Woodson. He's special like that. And when I seen that defense jailing with TJ, I like, ooh, I like, watch out. I told people before the season, I like, Pittsburgh is my team out of the AFC. I like, they finna go right now from sugars to turds. They're going to be great. And here we go. I knew Mike was gonna build him up.
There was a lot of people who were not buying what we were selling. It was just so many injuries last year, and that's why anytime somebody gets hurt, like a Bud Dupree or Devin Bush, we're all, especially Devin, because of what happened with Ryan Shazier, obviously, and we saw what happened to those teams. Very talented teams, and you get nervous. You don't want to ever see anyone get hurt. That's first and foremost. But then you look at it from the team perspective, and it's like, okay, who's filling in? And then it becomes a whole gossip thing. People even talk about James Harrison. It's like, because
– come on now. I love sweet James Harrison. And in my head, he can play forever. But in reality, he can't. You can't keep calling James off of the scrap. He's like, hey, listen to me. If I wanted to play a Sandlot game in the world anywhere, I'm taking James with me at the age we are right now.
Well, but he's doing the insurance commercial. He doesn't get paid unless he makes the tackle. So
listen to me. He going to pay the tackle to his grade. He don't care. He's rough. He has the mentality to play. I just don't know how many plays you'll get out of James, you know, right now.
Yeah, 42 years of age, and it's just
– it's a lot on a linebacker. Like Tom Brady, Big Ben can play the 40. Like, that's easy for somebody that only get hits on Sunday. You know, that's easy. But, you know, for somebody that take their body through the rigors like James, you know,
For him to play to 38, 39 like he did, people just don't realize how much of an achievement that is and how much dedication you have to your body, your health and fitness overall to be able to do something like that. And then not only do it, but do it well for as long as he did.
And do it at such a high level and hold other people to a standard. And that's what it's about on defense. And that's why he's always going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. He resonates what Pittsburgh about. First of all, the underdog. Nobody believes in us. That's what he is. He's the guy that wasn't drafted high. He's the guy that had to work his way up. He's the guy that was in a room with 5 Pro Bowlers at linebacker and Rod Woodson at safety. He's the guy that had to watch all them get all they just do. And then he build his from the scrap heap. And that's why he's never taken any S from anybody. Because he understands he was self-made. He was self-built. He is the epitome of a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Absolutely. Well, again, it's been great. Thank you for your time. Follow Fred over at the Believe in Washington podcast, BLEAV, if you're searching for it, wherever you can listen to podcasts. And, of course, thanks for joining us here. This is the Steel City Underground podcast. And my name is Joe, and we had former Washington cornerback Fred Smoot here is our special guest. We do this little thing where we always encourage our listeners out there each and every time to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.